Okay, we are launching into a deep dive today on something pretty critical. The stakes aren't just high, they're existential for a lot of businesses. I mean, it's a bit of a brutal reality check, but FEMA has this stat. Something like 40% of businesses just never reopen after a major disaster, and another 25% they fail within a year. That figure should honestly keep every business owner up at night, especially here in Southern California. So our mission today is really focused on resilience. We've dug through the source material on business continuity planning, BCP, and disaster recovery, or DR, and this is specifically tailored for small and medium-sized businesses right here in Orange County. We want to give you the critical info you need to be prepared.
Yeah, and we absolutely have to start with the money side of things, the financial gravity of not being prepared. For businesses in OC, IT silence is just catastrophic. Our sources show the average cost of IT downtime, well, it ranges pretty wildly, from about $137 to $427.
Per minute, seriously.
Per minute, exactly. So think about an unexpected 24-hour outage, and that's really not that uncommon during a major regional event, right?
Right.
You could easily be looking at losses between, say, $197,000 and over $614,000.
Wow.
And that's just the direct hit. That number doesn't even touch the long-term stuff like regulatory fines or the damage to your reputation.
That really puts a hard number on it for entrepreneurs, doesn't it? So the big question we need to tackle is, how do you actually protect your operations, your data, in this kind of unique, high-risk, high-cost environment?
Okay, let's unpack this. Maybe start by mapping out the specific threats facing us here in OC.
Yeah, what's really interesting is how location-specific these vulnerabilities are. You know, it's not enough to have a generic plan. You need an OC-specific one. Geologically, well, the elephant in the room is obviously the seismic threat, earthquakes. Seismologists, they're not asking if a major one hits, but when.
Right.
And the potential for just long-term damage to buildings, infrastructure, it's huge. And the environmental stuff seems to have ramped up so quickly too. I mean, beyond the usual wildfire threats, which bring, smoke, evacuations, now we have this extra layer, the public safety power shutoffs, the PSPS.
Oh, absolutely. PSPS is a critical planning point now. These are basically planned power cuts by the utilities. They do it preemptively during high fire danger.
Lock
And the
up.
key thing is, they can last for days, even if your business isn't anywhere near an actual fire.
Yes, wow.
Yeah, so you could have a perfectly intact building, but if the power's out for, say, 72 hours, most standard backup generators just won't cut it without refueling. You're looking at total business
And
paralysis.
we can't forget the flooding risk either, right? With those atmospheric rivers we keep seeing, that hits ground level stuff hard. Infrastructure inventory.
Exactly. But while we focus on these big California specific things, we can't overlook the more mundane stuff, like just plain old hardware failures, network glitches, and critically, human error. Our sources show human error is still a massive factor. It contributes to something like 25% of all data loss incidents. It's just, that accidental click.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Now let's shift to what feels like the fastest growing threat, and maybe the scariest one, cybercrime. It's not just about viruses anymore, is it?
Yeah.
Ransomware feels like, well, like you said, an existential threat.
It really is. The whole game has changed because the tactics are different now. We're seeing this thing called double extortion become really common. So the attackers, they don't just encrypt your systems and lock you out. They also steal huge amounts of your data first. Sensitive stuff, customer info, company secrets.
So they hit you twice, they lock it up, and they threaten to leak what they stole if you don't pay. Is that it?
That's precisely it. And that immediately transforms the problem. It's not just an operational headache anymore. It's suddenly a massive regulatory and legal nightmare. You're facing potential lawsuits, huge CCPA fines here in California, completely separate from just trying to get your files back. And let's be really clear, a lot of these attacks, they don't start with some super sophisticated, zero-day exploit. Often it's simple stuff. Business email compromise, basic phishing emails. The weak link is often just, an employee clicking something they shouldn't.
Okay, given that rather daunting mix of risks, earthquakes, power cuts, double extortion, we really need a common language here.
Right.
Let's start by clarifying some terms that people often mix up. BCP versus DR.
Right. So, business continuity planning, BCP,
Yeah.
that's the big picture, the strategic view. Think of it as the overall plan for how the entire organization, your people, your processes, how you communicate keeps essential functions going during and right after some kind of crisis. It's the whole playbook.
Okay, the big umbrella. And disaster recovery, DR, that's more specific.
Exactly. DR is the tech component. It focuses much more narrowly on restoring the IT systems, the applications, and critically, the data itself. And what really defines a modern resilient solution, what we call BCDR, combining both, is the speed of recovery. You know, traditional backup often meant someone had to manually restore things, could take days, even weeks.
Right.
Modern BCDR aims for automated failover, getting you operationally back up in hours, sometimes honestly even minutes.
And that speed, it's defined by two key metrics, right? These non-negotiable targets that sort of define your acceptable risk.
Correct. The first one is the recovery time objective, or RTO.
Okay, let's maybe use an analogy. RTO is like the absolute deadline for when the lights must be back on.
Mm.
If you're, say, a hospital or a bank, your RTO might be minutes. A retail store, maybe it's 24 hours. It's the maximum downtime you can stomach.
Perfect analogy. And the second metric is the recovery point objective, or RPO. RPO is about data loss. It's the maximum amount of data, measured in time, that you can afford to lose. So think of RPO as like the timestamp on the last good data snapshot you absolutely need. For data-heavy firms in OC, they might aim for an RPO close to zero, like continuous data replication. But most SMBs, realistically, should probably target an RPO of 1 hour or less.
Okay, RTO for time down, RPO for data lost. And to actually hit those tight RPOs, there's a foundational standard for protecting data, the famous 3-2-1 backup rule. For anyone listening who isn't familiar, what does that mean in practice?
It's simple but really effective, basically. Keep three copies of your important data. Store those copies on two different types of media, like, say, disk and tape or disk and cloud. And critically, make sure one of those copies is kept offsite. But there's a really important modern twist to this, especially with ransomware threats. That offsite copy absolutely needs to be immutable.
Okay, hang on. Immutable backups. Why is that specific word, immutable, so critical right now?
Because of that double extortion thing we mentioned. Attackers are smart. They know you have backups, so they target them too. They try to encrypt or delete everything, so you have absolutely no choice but to pay the ransom.
Ah, okay.
An immutable backup means that once that backup snapshot is written, it cannot be altered, deleted, or encrypted, even by someone with full admin access. Not for a set period, anyway. It's like your ultimate guarantee against getting totally wiped out. Your last line of defense.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so we understand the goals now, RTO and RPO, and the standards like 3-2-1 and immutability.
Yeah.
Let's walk everyone through the actual steps, the framework for building this resilience.
Right. The first step, and it's not technical, but it's probably the most crucial, is step one, the risk assessment and the business impact analysis, or BIA. This is your foundation. You have to identify every single critical business function. Then you need to calculate the financial pain points. What does an hour of downtime cost for this function versus that one? Mm. And you use all that data to set realistic RTOs and RPOs. It guides everything else.
And I'm guessing this BIA, it needs to look beyond just the servers in your own office, right? Like, what about all those cloud services, the SaaS apps everyone relies on?
Oh, absolutely. That's a common oversight for SMBs. You have to map your dependencies on things like Salesforce, QuickBooks Online, Microsoft 365, whatever you use. What happens if your main internet connection goes down? What if the SaaS provider themselves has an outage? The BIA has to cover those workflows, too.
Good point. Okay, moving on. Step two is redundancy and failover. This sounds like it's purely about avoiding single points of failure.
Pretty much, yeah. We're talking about things like backup power systems generators, or UPS, especially crucial with those PSPS threats, having redundant internet connections from different providers, and using technologies like virtualization or the cloud. So if your physical server in, say, Irvine fails, the entire system can automatically spin up in minutes in a secure data center somewhere else entirely.
Okay, that makes sense. That's step three, communication and coordination protocols. Because the tech is useless if people are running around like headless chickens.
Yeah.
Exactly. Your plan has to assume that your primary communication channels, like your office email or phone system, might be down.
Right.
So you need backup methods, multiple channels, maybe an emergency notification system or app, dedicated phone trees, even using personal email addresses as a last resort. And crucially, every single employee needs to know their role and who they report to during a crisis. Clarity is key.
And finally, step four. Training and testing. Okay, honestly, for a small business owner listening, maybe stretched thin already, isn't it tempting to just skip the testing?
Yeah.
Isn't it disruptive or expensive?
That is such a common and honestly such a fatal mistake. An untested plan is basically just paper. It's functionally useless because you can't build that muscle memory during a real crisis. But the good news is, Modern DR tech has really changed the game here. It's mitigated a lot of that cost and disruption concern. You don't have to shut down your whole production environment anymore. Yeah, modern platforms let businesses run full-scale simulations. They're often called isolated recovery environments. You can literally test the entire failover process, spin up your systems from backup, make sure everything works, all without impacting your live day-to-day operations at all.
Ah, okay.
If you can test your system properly, say quarterly, you eliminate probably 90% of the nasty surprises when something real happens.
That ability to test without disruption, that really changes the calculation for smaller businesses.
Okay.
Connecting this back to the bigger picture, why businesses really invest in this? It isn't just about lost revenue, is it? There are serious compliance mandates involved, especially here in California.
Definitely. The cost of not planning often goes way beyond the direct downtime losses because of these regulatory hammers. For example, if you handle any kind of patient data, HIPAA has very specific requirements for safeguarding electronic health information. Your BCDR plan, documented and tested, directly addresses those.
And then there's CCPA, the California Consumer Privacy Act. That forces businesses to have reasonable security measures for consumer data. If you have a massive data breach because your recovery failed, well, not having a working BCDR plan looks pretty unreasonable, doesn't it? The potential penalties are huge.
Absolutely. It basically proves negligence. And then, you know, for financial services firms, you've got SOX, GLBA. They all demand documented plans and regular testing. But the newest compliance driver, interestingly, isn't even the government. It's the private sector, cyber insurance companies.
Ah, right.
They are increasingly demanding proof of solid BCDR capabilities, including proof of regular successful testing, before they'll even issue you a policy. Or, critically, before they'll approve a claim if you do get hit.
It's becoming the cost of entry, basically. Okay, let's give some specific guidance for that absolute worst case scenario. You log in Monday morning and there's a ransomware note. What's the immediate, like, first 5 minutes protocol?
Okay, number one, isolate. Immediately disconnect infected systems from the network. Pull the network cables, disable the Wi-Fi, stop the bleeding, prevent it from spreading to clean systems, or worse, your backups.
Right, stop the spread.
Number two, and this is vital for any investigation later, do not just shut down the infected computers. It might seem intuitive, but shutting down can destroy volatile memory evidence that forensics teams need.
Okay, don't power off. Then what?
Then contact your experts, your IT provider, your cybersecurity incident response team, and activate your BCP, your communication plan. Get the ball rolling.
And a big question, should you pay the ransom?
The overwhelming advice from our sources and from law enforcement is do not pay the ransom, at least not without extensive consultation with security and legal experts first. There's no guarantee you'll get working decryption keys. Many groups don't provide them even after payment. And fundamentally, paying just fuels the fire, funding future attacks against others, maybe even against you again. Your focus should be laser sharp on restoring from those clean, hopefully immutable backups.
Okay, that's clear. So wrapping this up, let's talk bottom line. What's a realistic timeline and cost for an SMB to get this sorted?
Well, developing the full BCP, the planning, the process mapping, the policies, that usually takes an SMB somewhere between, say, 8 and 16 weeks working with professionals. But the technology part, the actual BCDR solution that handles the backups, the 3-2-1 rule, the failover, basic professionally managed services for that often range from maybe $500 to $3,000 a month.
Okay.
And when you stack that monthly fee against that potential cost of, what was it, up to $427 per minute of downtime, it starts to look like a pretty smart investment, doesn't it?
Yeah, the math is pretty compelling. So this whole deep dive really underscores that resilience, it's built on a solid process, not just on buying some piece of tech. A good BCDR provider or a managed IT service provider, they should be offering ongoing management, monitoring, 24/7 support, and ideally, you want someone local, right? Like here in Irvine, who understands these specific OC threats we talked about.
Absolutely. And what really stands out is that this is a continuous process. It's not set it and forget it. You build the plan, yes, but then you must maintain it. An outdated business continuity plan can honestly be almost as dangerous as having no plan at all. Technology changes, your business dependencies change, the threats evolve constantly. So your plans have got to be reviewed and updated minimum semi-annually.
Okay, so the first step is always getting that professional assessment done right. To figure out your specific vulnerabilities, nail down those RTOs and RPOs. But here's maybe a final thought to leave everyone with. Your business's survival. When the next big thing hits, whether it's an earthquake, a fire, a cyber attack, it might not depend on how severe that event is. It might actually depend on how current that continuity plan is. The one maybe you decided was good enough and stopped updating 6 months ago. Really think about the ongoing cost of maintaining that plan versus the potential catastrophic cost of failing. One of those numbers is definitely affordable.